Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. It's a Tuesday. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Feeling great.
Here we go. Yeah, I know. I love that. Three local teams, three wins.
Mm-hmm.
And only one ejection. What's mysterious, but hey, it happened, and we'll get a chance to talk. But I tell you what, how about that Pistons game? I was ready to turn the page to basketball, and it was exciting until it got boring in a great way. And they just dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And even you know, early in the game, you could kind of feel like once they got up by five, you're like, all right, you know, there's a little give and take, and then it just they never let the Knicks get in the game.
Well, that's the key. Because in basketball, you know, you're always waiting on the other team to make a 10-point run.
Right.
Their last-ditch effort. Pistons didn't let them get up off the mat. They pummeled them. They won by 30 points last night. It's the largest margin of victory of the year. And to do it against the team that had been sitting in the two spot in the East, the team that had knocked them out in the playoffs from the year before, statement loud and clear.
Yeah, that one was obviously, that was red-lettered.
Yeah, I mean, you got the beast of the East. It's Detroit. We're the number one team. And John, they outworked them. Every loose ball, blocks and steals and rebounds, defensive intensity from the jump, and it stayed until the final whistle. I mean, Cade didn't have to play down the stretch. He outplayed Brunson so badly that he could kick his feet up in the fourth quarter. Cade had 13 assists. Guess how many Brunson had last night?
Well,
same number as you and me.
Yeah, zero.
Zero. How about Asar Thompson, the job he did? The Knicks as a team had 15 assists. Cade had 13. He was an assassin. He took over that basketball game. Everything from the crowd energy to the way they finished to the way they defended to the way their stars showed up. John, that was a hell of a statement by the Pistons.
And, I mean, stars showed up. But it's also, and we've talked about this, it's the bench.
Yeah.
It's how deep the bench is. Jalen Duren, unavailable. Doesn't matter.
No Tobias Harris, no right. Caris LeVert on a back-to-back. Doesn't matter.
Right, and we talked about it earlier in the season against lesser opponents where, hey, you know, Cade's out, Jalen's out. You know, you got all these guys out, and they're still winning. But it was always, well, it's lesser opponents. And I know this is still against a team in the East, and the East isn't like it is in the West. But this was the team that knocked you out last year.
Yeah.
You're at home. You're in front of your fans. And I was watching out of curiosity because of some of the things that we saw last year in the playoffs. And it was, yeah, the Pistons can get on a 10-point lead. Yeah. They could be up 15. But what are they going to do in the fourth quarter? Are they going to allow New York to get back into the game and make it something? And they didn't. They just said, hey, thanks for coming. We appreciate it. Spend your money here. Fill up the hotels. And go back to New York, the cute little town that's New York.
Yeah, I was going to say. I loved, I think it was Green hits a three to get him up over the century mark.
Yeah.
And there's a TV timeout after the big three. They show Spike Lee sad sitting courtside and then pouting Jalen Brunson as they go to commercial. And it was incredible.
Yeah. Well, and okay, second quarter, you outscore him by 9. Third quarter, you outscore him by 10. Fourth quarter. All right. We know you got it. They're going to play it.
Yeah.
You got to continue to play, and they outscore them by 11.
There was no let up. And John, the Pistons, they showed a stat 5-1 on back to backs, now 6-1 mm-hmm. on back to backs. The NBA, that's typically a scheduled loss. Most teams lose, and they showed that too. The league average, you lose the back-to-back more often than not.
For a team that is as high energy.
Yep.
They're expending maximum energy every night. Now, I know they're young, and they, hey, you could do that, but you would think at some point on the back-to-backs, it's going to bite you in the backside at some point.
And look, it was a big-time win against Cleveland.
Yep.
Cleveland's had Detroit's number, and then to flip the switch right back out the next night. And pummel the Knicks the way they did. That's a statement game for the Pistons.
Yep.
And it was a fun game if you were there. It was a great game to watch. You got to kick your feet up in the fourth quarter and watch sad Knicks fans and Knicks players take their lumps.
Yep, or you could start flipping channels,
yeah.
Which I started to do. And there was a lot of really good sports on last night. And it was, you know, there was a championship game on, which I'm sure maybe locally, I was the only one watching Montana State, Illinois State. Okay. It went into overtime. It was an awesome football game. Some great moments. And it was a great game, but it allowed me to go and explore other options. I mean, the Wings were playing.
They were.
It was Michigan State was playing. That one wasn't very exciting either. So it was total dominance in terms of Detroit sports.
Yeah, and look, it's where we're at. The Wings were an afterthought for me last night. Now, obviously, with the staggered start time, I caught the finish of that hockey game and Detroit scoring a shorthanded goal for the first time in almost 80 games. But game was teetering. Ottawa kept getting power plays, and the Wings find a way to win there in first place in the Atlantic. It's not to take away from them. I found, you know me, more of a hockey guy. I found myself glued to that Pistons game, even in a blowout, because I just couldn't get enough of it, John. I just couldn't get enough of it. Give me another steal. Give me another transition dunk. How about a step back three? Couldn't get enough of it.
So it begs the question. We dabbled in it a little bit yesterday, but everything yesterday was Lions. Lions season's over, and we'll you know, the long off season has begun, unfortunately. But with that game last night, it was perfect timing. No Monday Night Football, and now all of a sudden you've got the Knicks in town, and Michigan State was playing last night. Michigan will play tonight. Has basketball season officially begun?
Yeah, for you guys out there, has the switch been flipped? Are you in on basketball now? 248-539-9797. And we will, of course, focus on the Pistons to start the show. Let's get to some of you guys. Paul, you're in Madison Heights. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. I am so glad to hear you guys talking about the Pistons. I am so done hearing all the diatribe of the Lions this, the Lions that. They need to do this. They need to do that. Hey, the Lions are done. Pistons are number two in the NBA. And there isn't a whisper about it in the national media. I'm actually looking at some stuff right now, and all I'm seeing is, you know, what's going to happen with Trae Young. Well, Trae Young's washed, man. Why are you talking about him?
Right.
You know, and how come LeBron at 41, how he's changed his game? Who cares? They're out of the mix. The Pistons boat raced the Knicks last night, and there isn't nothing about it in the media. Not at all. Talking about Jokic's injury. Yeah, Jokic's great, but he's not going to play for a long time. Why are we talking about him? It's amazing. I mean, in the state of Michigan, there's so much more going on, basketball especially. But even our hockey team is playing great.
Yep.
Michigan State's playing good. U of M, oh, my God, they're undefeated.
Yeah, will they lose? Right. We have a very good stretch of basketball being played by our teams, and throw in the teams on the ice too, college hockey and the Red Wings. To his point, I go to ESPN NBA. Headlines. KD savers winner versus Suns. Kerr ejected. Curry fouls out. Knicks, quote, gotta respond after Pistons drubbing. It's always framed from the Knicks standpoint.
Right.
It's not Detroit cementing status as number one team in the East. And then you go on. To his point, sources, Hawks, Young, working together on a trade. Pistons are not getting the love they should right now.
They're not. And, I mean, I don't care if no one else is talking about them. You would like to get some national respect. They certainly have earned it and deserve it. But, you know, hey, let's just keep being the cute little team from Detroit until everyone is forced to recognize when we get to the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
And it's that's what makes being a Detroit sports fan somewhat intriguing and fun, because we're the last team in all of our sports to get any respect.
248-539-9797. Bruce is next up. Bruce, you're on 97.1.
Honestly, I don't think the Pistons are going to be the number one seed the whole year in the East. I think Boston's eventually going to catch up to him later on when Tatum comes back.
What's the latest? I know he's planning on getting back before the postseason, right?
Well, some reports say January 9, I saw.
Yeah, that's what I read yesterday. I'm actually a Detroit and a Boston fan, but I'm more of a Boston fan because that's where I grew up at. So when Tatum comes back, I think they're going to run the East. They're doing stuff without him right now, and Brown's just running the show.
They are. I mean, obviously, with the Pistons beating the Knicks last night, it bounces them to third, and the Celtics are right there,
yes,
three and a half back of the Pistons.
Yeah.
And I would I would agree that the Celtics are a bigger threat than the Knicks. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
I would just caution with, you know, I don't know. I think January 9, I think it was May that he tore his Achilles.
Right. January's aggressive.
January, anytime in January seems like it would be very aggressive. And I know they're going to err on the side of caution with him because he's so important to the franchise. They do need him. And they're simply trying to stick around in a position where when he does come back, they can make something happen. I mean, with that injury and being an explosive sport,
yeah.
How effective is he going to be when he? I'm not saying he's going to be limping around,
no,
but he's not going to be Jason Tatum at his peak.
So when we had Stoney in last week, he was talking about Tatum will be back, and Stoney was guessing like March, and March would make a little more sense. And then you can ramp him up for the postseason, which would then begin in mid-April.
Yeah, I know how that injury affected me. And obviously, clearly different type of athlete, different type of sport. But I wasn't having to run up and down the court. I wasn't having to, you know, to jump
right.
And land and do all the things that Jason Tatum is going to have to do, the things that make him special.
248-539-9797, as this texter puts it, not bad for a cute little basketball team. Mm-hmm. Another one, at New York, who's the cute little team now? Guys, I've fully flipped the switch. Go Pistons. Kenny in a car.
There you go.
Guys, Alex and Grand Blank, I'm so happy I can focus on a winning team with the Pistons. Detroit basketball season has started. More of your feedback, more of your thoughts. It's 97.1.
Hey, you hear those ads. Law firms bragging about some giant verdict. To them, it's a trophy. It's a number, and that's good for them. But if you've just been injured in a car accident, what's it really do for you? Here's the truth about David Femeninu. He wins big, of course, but he also knows it's not about the headlines. It's about you. That money pays your medical bills. It keeps your family steady, and it matters only because you need it. That's the difference. With David, it's never about showing off. It's about fighting for you. Call David at 855-65-CRASH or visit getdavidgetpaid.com.
John had the question, have you made the switch? Are you in basketball mode now? Pistons with a statement win last night against the Knicks. 30-point blowout. Yeah. Sad Spike Lee courtside, pouting Jalen Brunson, zero assists against a Pistons defense that won't quit.
What a different feeling about Brunson last night versus the series last year.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a problem. He had some big shots in the playoffs, but they smothered him. Assar did a great job on him. Pistons forced 20 turnovers. They had double-digit steals, double-digit blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And Cade, you want to talk about the stars coming out to play? Cade had 13 assists. Cade scored 29 points in 29 minutes. Cade was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it was just fun to watch because from beginning to end, they led.
And you spotlighted, hey, shout out the bench. I love that second unit. Ivy and Dennis Jenkins playing off of one another and throwing Green as kind of a three-guard look. That's a Pistons team playing on a back-to-back without two starters and a contributor. Without Duren, without Tobias, and without LeVert. Didn't look like they were shorthanded. Didn't look like they were winded.
Can I give you my Stoney moment?
Yeah, you have
I got a Stoney nitpick.
Please, what is it?
So we've talked about all the stats, right? The fact that, hey, three-point shooting, they were over 50%. Awesome. Field goal percentage, 55%. Awesome. You know, we talked about the turnovers, the steals, all of those different things. I just get frustrated when professional basketball players aren't better at shooting free throws.
Okay.
They were sub 70%. They were 69%. Yeah. They were 11 of 16. That free throw shooting, to me, is that I tell my kids all the time when we're in the backyard, right? Hey, they don't call them free for nothing. Like, they're free for a reason. Take them.
So if they were 12 of 16 instead of 11 of 16, A-okay.
They would have been better. No, yeah, okay. I'm thinking they need to be more 14 of 16.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's
a Stoney moment.
It is a Stoney moment.
They win by 31 points.
But I do think that all the little details will matter.
They will.
And so just be better.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Guys, in the past week, the Pistons have beaten the Lakers, Cavs, and Knicks. Two of them were on the road. Two were blowouts. One's on a back-to-back. It's the best week of Pistons basketball in 10 years.
Yeah.
Sure feels like it. Guys, I don't think I enjoyed anything better than watching Brunson pout on the bench. Guys, I love the Pistons surge. Let's keep the national media hype to a minimum. Tigers had it. Look what happened to them. Doug in a truck. Guys, awesome Pistons win, and glad the Wings won. But man, does it feel like they're going to do it to us again this year.
Well, okay, the whole Wings thing. They are, just like we're celebrating the Pistons being in first in the East. Correct me if I'm wrong. They are, in the Atlantic, the number one seed.
Correct.
The weird thing is that you look at Tampa, who's number two. Their point differential is plus 32.
Yep.
Montreal Canadiens, all right, they're even at zero. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the wild cards, the Flyers, plus 8. The Penguins, plus 4. You jump over to the Metropolitan, plus 13, plus 17. There's another, you know, the Islanders are even. The Wings are minus 5. They're the only team that is currently in playoff standings with a negative goal differential. Mr. Hockey Man, please explain to me.
Giving up more goals than they've scored, John. That's how negative differential works.
I understand that. Thank you.
When they lose, they get blown out.
Yeah, I mean, that's when they lose, it's ugly. And when they win, it's nail biters and close. Like, even at the end of December, I went to some of these games. They were thrillers, but they were OT winners.
Does that last? Can you always win the thrillers? Can you always win the nail biter?
John, I'm focused on the moment right now.
Just asking the question.
Because you and I both know, and I think there's a impending sense of dread when we get late in the season. We've watched this team build 9, 10 double-digit cushions in the second half of the season and still not make the playoffs. So what I'd like to do is not be rain cloud guy. I want to enjoy the fact that they're winning hockey games.
And so now I'll flip the script, because I'm not normally rain cloud guy. I'm just asking the question because I believe that they will sustain this.
Okay.
They're not going to win all the nail biters,
okay. But
I do, and I don't think they're going to stay first in the Atlantic, but I do think they're a team that will stay above the cut line the rest of the way.
There's a couple unknowns. One is the nearly month-long layoff for the Olympics. They'll have some players playing in the Olympics, knock on wood, come back healthy and keep playing good hockey. How does the team respond to a layoff, the trade deadline? If Detroit doesn't do much, which they haven't, are the teams around them going to do something and make up 2-3 points? It's the unknowns.
So, just asking the question.
I'm happy we started with the Pistons, and we'll keep the lines open for people who want to talk about this basketball team. Dan Campbell was at the podium yesterday, and he said a couple things worth replaying. We'll get to that at 6:35. 7:02, we'll kick off playoff football with a draft. We're going to take our playoff teams and compete toe-to-toe. We'll do that at the top of the hour. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Good morning, you guys. Well, after over a day of chaos in Ypsilanti in this neighborhood, police say they have arrested a man who barricaded himself with a sword in a cross street home. You might have heard about this because, like I said, it went on for 30 hours. But they say after that amount of time, the 53-year-old suspect safely was taken into custody. And they say the standoff, though, resulted in evacuations for some neighbors. There was shelter in place orders for others. So there was a lot going on. But police say the suspect had tried to get into a neighbor's home with a sword. And when police arrived at the scene, the man allegedly charged officers before barricading himself inside the home. This was at 12:20 p.m. on Sunday. Then by Monday afternoon, authorities had all but exhausted all of their negotiation tactics. They did try to get inside the house, and this guy just kept barricading himself further into the attic. When they threw tear gas into the house, the guy took the tear gas and threw it back at police. So, I mean, this went on for a long, long time, but it has finally come to an end safely, which is good news. If you're excited to take part in the Black Lake sturgeon fishing season, John, maybe you.
Oh, yeah. I've been there for this one. Yeah. I've not done it, but I've been on the ice when this is going on. It's awesome.
It's pretty cool. You need to be kind of quick on your toes because it might not last long.
Yeah.
Last year, it only lasted 17 seconds.
What? No, 17 minutes.
17 minutes.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes. There's a big Blink difference. Yes, as we all know.
17 minutes. Excuse me.
Time matters.
Holy cow. So the 2026 Lake Sturgeon fishing season on Black Lake in Sheboygan and Presque Isle will start at 8 a.m. on February 7th, and it will run through, could run through,
yeah,
the following Wednesday,
yeah,
or until the quota of 6 sturgeon is reached. So that's why it could go rather quickly. The traditional, I guess, season lasts about an hour.
Yeah.
So in 2023, it lasted 65 minutes. In 2022, it was 36 minutes. Last year, it was the quickest time ever at 17.
At 17,
minutes.
Yeah. It's really cool to be out there because people are shouting and screaming and cheering, and it's just a lot of fun to be out there. I've not actually sturgeon fished officially before, but it is a fun experience.
Yes. You might remember recently I told you about those special American flag edition license plates that
yeah,
would be mm-hmm. available to Michigan drivers this year. Well, in the first 12 hours of availability, 727 of these special red, white, and blue plates were ordered. So people want them. The plates celebrate America's 250th anniversary, and they're an updated version of the 1976 plates. So they look pretty awesome. They're available this year. They cost $55.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I do have some really sad news to report. Pat Caputo, our colleague and a longtime Detroit sports columnist, has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. This was a shock to, I think, everyone. Yeah. I didn't find out until I was scrolling through news articles last night. But you may have noticed that he has been off the air for quite some time. And on Monday, he did post about the news on X. So in his post, he said, "For those wondering where I've been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, commonly referred to as a death sentence, and had two other serious ailments which put me in ICU for several days. It was sudden. I've literally been on my back for weeks. Bless you all."
It was shocking news.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us here at one point or another have worked on air with Pat. Mm-hmm. And I did, when I was first getting into local radio here, I would do Lions game days with him. And I love the fact that he would challenge me on things that I thought I was, you know, hard and fast rules. And he would challenge me and make you prove it, make you, you know, come up with numbers and stats. And we all know he's, you know, baseball numbers and stats. That's his thing.
The book.
Yeah. It was crushing news. So thoughts and prayers to him, his family. Gosh.
It stopped me in my tracks yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, we knew he had been away. We didn't know why. I had no idea it was something like this. It's something we're going to be pulling for him.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
And want to see him get through this. He was awesome. I mean, I did some crosstalks with him when I would work the weekends.
Yeah.
And we had one knockdown drag out over baseball payroll because Pat knows his baseball. He knows his stuff. And then there were other stories. Like, I'm working late night.
Yeah.
And I'm working a Pistons game. And he's on after the game. And we're over in the gym on the treadmill, and he would joke, it's like a This Is Sports Center commercial because we're commentating on the game, just having a good time. So sending him as much love as we can and thinking of Pat a lot right now.
Yeah.
It's Heather with the news. It's 97.1. Sure are. What does that make the Knicks? Pistons roll last night, statement game on a back-to-back, shorthanded, pummeling New York with their largest margin of victory of the year. Yeah, that'll do. Beast in the East, statement made loud and clear. We'll keep talking about the Pistons, and we'll make room on the phones all morning long. If you're feeling some type of way, you went to that game, that crowd was awesome, you watched that game, you're feeling good about your team. John's question was, are you in on basketball now? As football season's in the rearview mirror, are you in on basketball? We got the two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. Back for the new year, a chance to win $2,000.
And we went out with a bang in 2025.
So 7:25, your first chance of 2026 to win some cash with us. John, Dan Campbell spoke at the podium yesterday.
He did.
And Brad Holmes will speak later this week. For Dan, let's start with a short summary. How would he grade his coaching?
I kind of love him, right? He is, he's very honest about, and he, what he says, we're kind of all like, yeah, we've said it on air. Mm-hmm. Like, the season was a failure.
Yeah.
We said it last year. Season was a failure. They didn't end up in the Super Bowl. They didn't win the Super Bowl. They didn't even end up in the playoffs. So we kind of were talking about the same things. And then to hear it from the coach, at least you have somebody in a position of power that agrees with our thoughts and our feelings.
There's no excuse making.
No.
He was asked about play calling. Would he be open to calling plays next season? This is what Dan Campbell had to say. How do you feel about it?
All right. Yep. So, hey, he wants to do what he feels best for the team. What do you feel is best for the team?
Right. Look, the idea of your head coach calling plays is not a foreign concept.
No.
A lot of guys do it, and a lot of guys do it well. Just to give people context, of the teams in the playoffs now, the majority of the head coaches call one side of the ball. And it's both one seeds. Mike McDonald of the Seahawks calls the defense. Yeah. Sean Payton of the Broncos calls the offense. But you can go up and down the list. Rams and Sean McVay. Niners and Kyle Shanahan. Those guys have played for, and in the case of McVay, won a Super Bowl. Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur, Liam Cohen, Dave Canales. The majority of the coaches in the playoffs are calling plays. So it can be done. It doesn't have to be too much on your plate. You'll have to delegate. If Dan Campbell's going to call offensive plays next season, John, it reinforces to me that they need someone on the defensive side that doesn't need someone to help them. A more experienced defensive coordinator, a veteran who's run defenses for a decade, someone where Dan Campbell can just say, dude, it's you.
Yeah.
I'm not stepping into meetings. I'm not helping you out. I can trust you to run the defense solely as an experienced defensive coordinator. That would be my thought. If Dan's going to call the offense next year, I need an upgraded defensive coordinator.
He's been very non-committal on both, which is appropriate at this time, right? He's got, this is the first week of the offseason. This is the second day of the offseason. And he spoke yesterday. And I always feel like the day after the season ends is a little bit early because you're going to get a lot of, well, I need to evaluate the positions. I need to evaluate the players. I need to evaluate the coaching staff. I need to evaluate myself. And he, you know, in regards to, you know, who's going to be calling plays next year, that's all part of that evaluation. The offense was markedly better when he took over for John Morton. That bar was really low.
Yeah. The defense got worse, and you may have some issues with situational football and you know, running the team at the same time while you're calling plays. So he has to figure out the best way of organizing game day operations. I'm not opposed to him calling plays next year. I'm really not. But John, to me, then it means I need Raheem Morris running my defense, or I need Todd Bowles if he's let go, or I need Jim Schwartz. I need someone who I can say, hey, that's off my plate. The flip side would be if Dan says, I don't want to call plays, I'm going to go get an outside play caller. Mm-hmm. Then maybe he can keep Calvin Shepard and be more of a CEO and oversee both sides of the ball.
But so to be an offensive play caller, obviously you've got to be an expert on defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
His expertise, we all know, is off. It's the same thing. Like when you're talking about all these other play callers, yeah, you've got to know what's going on the other side of the ball. I don't know that whether or not he is the play caller, that should determine what they do on the defensive side of
things. Okay, so I'm oversimplifying that.
Well, not necessarily. So it's you got to take a look at the defensive side and say, how can we improve? Is it a matter of health and personnel? Is it a matter of recognizing that personnel and being able to call the defense that best fits that personnel? Not because I love man coverage. I want to be aggressive. I want to blitz.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have that personnel, you can't keep doing that. And we saw in the Bears game, they didn't have the personnel to keep going man, and they finally moved to a more, I don't want to say passive defense, just a different style of defense because it was more zone coverage and it fit the personnel better. Why did it take so long?
Yeah.
But they eventually got there. Now, what did he learn as a defensive play caller moving forward to next year? Like, what can he tell Dan Campbell when Dan calls him into his offense and he's got all the metrics in front of him and says, I need you to convince me that you are the guy moving forward?
248-539-9797. Dan Campbell says he's open to calling plays next season. What do you want to see happen with the coordinator spots, and do you want Dan calling plays?
So I was going to ask you guys, what do you think, if hiring an OC and going to be the play caller, is the most important attribute? For me, it's somebody that's run a more pro-style offense because of Goff. Somebody that fits with Jared Goff. Like, I was kind of hoping that Zach Taylor got fired from the Bengals because he's from the Rams tree and has a past with Jared Goff, that would have been kind of an attractive hire to me, because somebody that's like had some running, you know, I don't know if that person's going to fit.
At the same time, Dan's going to want someone that runs his offense his way.
Right.
Well,
because if he's going to loosen up the reins, he wants to trust that someone's going to do exactly what he would do if he was in that spot.
Yeah, but I do worry about him being too stubborn to it having to be his way. He has taken over two OC's play callings midseason. You know, that tells me that I'm reading in between the lines a little bit that he's a little bit stubborn, and maybe somebody with some fresh ideas could help too.
248-539-9797. We've got the Lions in the mix, got the Pistons out there as well. Jason and Fenton, you're fired up about our Hoops team. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, fired up about Hoops for the first time since the Bad Boys era, to be honest with you. I was out of basketball for a while. I moved out of Michigan, wasn't watching, didn't watch the go-to-work era, which I wish I would have. But I started to tune in at the end of last season, and I am all in. This team at the end of last season for me was a player away, and those players were just not able to play because they were injured or whatever. And to watch them play like they played last night and put it in the face of the Knicks after watching them get beat in the playoffs last year was so much fun. This team is legit. I love it.
They're a very likable group.
Yeah. And they work together really well. Yes. You see them gel. You see them have each other's backs. It's just, to me, it's kind of the feeling I got with the Lions after they started to roll. Once things started to move, they started to have each other's backs. You saw them on the sidelines hyping each other up. And I see that with the Pistons. People need to really jump on board with this team because they're a blast.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, look, you see teamwork on defense, team defense, but also sharing the ball on offense, the energy, the camaraderie, what you see on the bench. Like, yeah, man. And anybody out there listening going, nah, I just can't watch the NBA. Pistons are different. The Pistons are not your run-of-the-mill NBA team that takes nights off on a back-to-back. They're not a team that takes possessions off very frequently on defense. In fact, they're locked in, they're dialed in, and they're forcing takeaways, steals, turnovers, all of it. Likeable group.
Yeah.
And winning will do that too, by the way.
Yes. Winning will make a group very likable.
All right. More texts and feedback on Dan Campbell as a play caller. How do you guys feel about that possibility for 2026? It's 97.1. Guys, we're into 2026. Life gets busy. It's easy to forget that dentist appointment that you've been putting off. If you want to start the new year with a brighter smile, it's Brightside Dental. Brightside Dental is welcoming new patients with a $35 new patient special, and Brightside can see you often same day. 9 Metro Detroit locations to choose from. Going to the dentist doesn't have to be a pain. Call 1-800-PAINLESS. Visit BrightsideDental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care.
Pull it out of his hat. Good save there.
It was a fun night last night at Little Caesars Arena. Pistons with a thunderous victory against the New York Knicks. It doesn't avenge the playoffs last year, but you could tell this team wanted to make a statement with the top two teams in the East going toe-to-toe. And Detroit won that game going away. Cade Cunningham was spectacular. You want to know where he stacks up in the East? Nobody better. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about Jalen Brunson. I love pouting Brunson shots. I loved seeing sad Spike Lee. I love seeing Pistons fans getting after it.
Yeah.
It's a good night. 248-539-9797. We also brought up Dan Campbell staying as the play caller potentially next year for the Lions. He said he's open to everything. Here's some of the feedback. Guys, the Lions season's over. Can we please talk Pistons? We will do both.
Yeah.
Open
and
Lions.
We have been talking Pistons.
Plenty. guys, when Dan took over play calling, the offense got better both times. Just stay as the play caller. How involved is Dan on defense when he's calling plays? That's a big question.
So to your point, like if he is the play caller and he is going to be obviously all week long, that needs to be 100% of his focus.
Right.
And he is not in those defensive meetings, or he's not overseeing Kelvin Shepard or whoever that defense coordinator is more than he would normally.
Well, that was my thought process, is not just certainly during the game when things are moving so quickly, but even during the week. If Dan's going to skew more to the offensive side of the ball, which those are his roots and he's called plays before, I want someone on the defensive side of the ball who is experienced and can conduct themselves without any oversight from the head coach. And no knock on Kelvin Shepard, he's at an early stage as a defensive play caller. He right. does need more support from his head coach. I don't think a Raheem Morris would need the same level of oversight. Or if Todd Bowles is let go in Tampa Bay, or Jonathan Gannon. I'm just giving you coaches. Jim yep. Schwartz, now that Stefanski was let go in Cleveland, Jim Schwartz is going to be looking for a job. And they're all different styles of people and defenses. And I'm not telling you that any one is perfect for Dan, but he should be doing some vetting and making those determinations, because I'd feel better about him calling plays if Todd Bowles was running the defense, for example.
So yes, on the surface, that sounds like it would make all the sense in the world. My argument is, if you're going to make that change, if Dan is going to be the play caller, why wouldn't you make that change anyway?
Yeah, I suppose.
So it's somewhat semantics, but I do think that there needs to be a deep dive into is Kelvin Shepard the answer?
Right. We talked about it last week a little bit.
Whether he's a play caller or not.
So where are you at? Because, okay, new year, people might not have listened last week. You weren't in last week. Stoney made the case, give him another year. I said, I'm ready to make a change. Nothing personal, like the guy, but this is business. We're chasing a Super Bowl. How do you feel about it?
I go back to the Philly game and everything leading up to it and some of the changes that we saw, even in week one against Green Bay. I thought there were some changes and shifts that he did defensively in game, and then all the way up until the Philly game, I thought this defense actually is starting to play really well. And we talked about the Tampa game yeah. where it was, hey, they were able to manufacture with having everyone out in the secondary against a good wide receiving core and a quarterback that was hot at the time in Baker Mayfield. Okay, yeah, it seems like Kelvin Shepard is the guy. But since the Philly game, and you know, you look at and I think you got to take a look at the Giants game and say, yeah, Jameis Winston isn't the starting quarterback. He's also a quarterback that has had 4,000-yard passing seasons. And he had one of those days where he's just simply throwing it up and it's being completed. Well, why is that? Well, because, one, he can do it. Second, it wasn't the greatest performance. So it's kind of both.
Yeah.
But they never seem to recover from that. And then you see them play against Chicago at the end of the season.
Right, much better.
Against a quarterback or a coordinator that we know is really good, a head coach and coordinator that we know is really good at calling plays. So it's, why was there that dip from the Philly game to the Chicago game?
Yeah, and it was not a dip. I called it valley.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. It was, why did they struggle defensively in those games? And if it's simply injuries is not an excuse, but it can be a reason, I'm willing to give him another year.
Okay.
Because I saw enough.
I thought it was a mixed bag.
It wasn't good enough. Special teams.
Yeah.
All right. We know Dave Phipp is a really good special teams coordinator. Was special teams good this year?
No.
No. Are you ready to get rid of Dave Phipp?
Hadn't really thought about it, but no.
Right. So it's, I think you got to take a look at everything and say, what are the things that they did well? And I'm sure Kelvin Shepard is looking at these like, okay, where did we fall short?
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to be more critical about himself than he is. But is he willing to make changes and shift not his philosophy on football?
Right.
But when guys do get hurt, you're going to have to shift how you operate.
Can you bend? Can you be flexible? Can you make those tweaks? I don't need to see zone when you're already eliminated from the playoffs.
Because we saw Robert Saleh do it
right.
in San Francisco.
Well, that's another example. Failed head coach that's running a defense at a high level. Those are the type of dudes I'd be interested in bringing in here. Like, I don't know, maybe it just rubbed me the wrong way when he said, I'll stand on a table and tell you we didn't get the ball run down our throat. When that's exactly what the Rams did, and then the very next week, Pittsburgh ran for over 200 yards against them. Like, I don't want to feel like...
And that was a unit that wasn't hurt.
Right, and I don't want to feel like you're taking me for an idiot. You're going to stand on the table and say you didn't get... Dude, it was like 500 rushing yards over 2 weeks. Like, what do you call it?
Yeah,
semantics? They didn't run it down our throat, but they ran around us? Like,
What we don't know, though, is... How many of those defensive play calls were the right play call, but it just wasn't executed up front? That's where we go to, okay, the mystery of it. And yes, the safeties have to be a part of run support. Yes. You don't want them to be your leading tacklers, but they have to be in position to prevent a 55-yard run against Pittsburgh.
Some quick responses from you guys. Guys, what do you think about Gruden as an offensive coordinator? Smart guy looking to get back in the game. Kind of feels like he'd come back as a head coach.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I know he's looking to get back into the game, you know, pretty much any which way possible. If that's the option, I would rather have Dan as the play caller.
Okay. Guys, I think you have to be a successful OC to call plays as a head coach. That's why the guys doing it this weekend are so good at it. Dan's expertise is being the CEO of the team so he can be a part of everything and have a say. Guys, I definitely think the Lions need an OC. Campbell has always been bad with clock management. This season, even worse. I don't think he can juggle being the head coach and the play caller, Jim in Fenton.
Well, that's where you go to the personal analysis and say, okay, if I am going to be calling plays,
what do I need to be successful?
Do I need to have somebody on staff that is going to be standing right next to me at the end of the first half, into the second half, and saying, this is in the final 4 minutes of the half, this is what you have to do?
Well, he gave himself a freaking F, so there's going to be a lot of self-evaluation. We had him on all season, and there would be times we'd ask about an end of half or end of game, and he'd go, yeah, I probably should have done the other thing. So there is a self-scout there, and maybe that is the adjustment they make. This text says the statement made that Dan not having to worry about the play caller leaving sounds like a Costa Smarm alarm. Said he needs to call plays next year and heavily rely on a skybox team to help manage the clock. Glenn in Macomb.
See, I this offense for the Lions was much more successful when he took over. J-Mo was a much larger part of the offense and opened up a lot for everything else when Dan Campbell was calling plays.
Two Grand Slam next hour, plus our playoff football draft, 97-1.